What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, man, SGA is just making an unquestioned path to the MVP so far this season. I mean, it feels like every fucking game, this guy is just going off for points, and he just continued to do it this week. So let's start off with Monday. Between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets. Oklahoma City won 137 to 128, and SGA dropped 51 points in this game. That is his fourth 50-point game of the season. So far on the season, he has had the most 50-point games, the most 40-point games, the most 30-point games, and the most 20-point games on the season. He is just absolutely obliterating everybody. And it doesn't matter if his team is injured. It doesn't matter who else is playing. This guy is just having a phenomenal year. You know, who knows what's going to happen in the postseason, because that's always the question with this Oklahoma City Thunder team. But if he keeps playing at this pace, this is going to be one hell of a postseason for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Then also on Monday night, crazy matchup between the Atlanta Hawks and the Memphis Grizzlies. Atlanta won 132 to 130. Caris LeVert had the game-winning layup with seconds left to go on the clock. Boom, he lays it up, gets the game winner, and they take the win over the Memphis Grizzlies. LeVert ended up with 25 points. And in this game, there was no Ja or Jaren Jackson. As a matter of fact, Jaren Jackson got hurt early on in the game with a sprained ankle. So, and Ja was already not going to be playing in this game. So the fact that they were actually able to keep it this close all the way to the bitter end actually just shows what a decent-ass team the Memphis Grizzlies are. But they still fell short in that one to the Hawks. And then an unfortunate bit of news on Monday night. Also, Kyrie Irving, he tore his ACL on Monday in the game. He actually ended up shooting the free throws end his game that way. But unfortunately, right after the game, it was basically announced that he is done for the season as he tore his ACL. And just yet another blow for the Dallas Mavericks. You know, it started with them trading away Luka, then Anthony Davis, he gets hurt, and it looks like he may or may not play the rest of the season. Kyrie's done for the rest of the season, and this season just keeps going down the drain for the Dallas Mavericks. Then on Tuesday night, the Los Angeles Lakers took out the New Orleans Pelicans 136 to 115, but that wasn't really the news. The news is LeBron James becomes the first player ever to hit the 50,000-point mark. That's career. That includes regular season and postseason. So he is the first player ever to reach the 50,000 mark, and that's huge. It's probably going to take a minute for anybody to really catch up to him anyways, but even so, Luka and LeBron continue their reign of terror. LeBron not only eclipsed the 50,000-point mark, but he ended up with 34 points on the night, 8 rebounds and 6 assists. And then Luka had 30 points, 15 assists, and 8 rebounds. So huge night for the Los Angeles Lakers. But then Steph Curry also had a huge night. It is awesome to see both LeBron and Steph Curry. You know, they're basically at the end of their careers, but it doesn't look like it. They're both playing at high levels right now, doing exactly what they've done their entire careers, and just keeping their teams in it as well. Golden State got the win over the New York Knicks, 114 to 102, and it was in New York. It was a big game. It's always funny to see that the stars, the shining stars in New York always end up being LeBron, always end up being Kobe, always end up being Steph Curry. It's never anybody who plays for the New York Knicks, which is crazy. But Steph Curry ended up with 28 points on the night, 9 assists and 7 rebounds. Just had a flawless night. I believe he's 12-1 in his career in Madison Square Garden as well. So big night for Curry and the Golden State Warriors. Then on Wednesday, the first team to clinch a playoff berth. We still have about a month left of basketball left to go, but one team has already clinched a playoff spot, and that is the Cleveland Cavaliers. They got the win over the Miami Heat, 112 to 107. Won their 12th game in a row, by the way, but most importantly, clinched the playoff spot. They are the first team to clinch a playoff spot, and they got such a huge lead in the Eastern Conference that it kind of feels like they pretty much got that number one seed on lockdown. Then also on Wednesday night, as I said, SGA, he had yet another flawless night. Oklahoma City beat their division rivals, Memphis Grizzlies, not their division rivals, but their Western Conference rivals, 120 to 103. SGA dropped 41 points and had 8 assists on the night. Then James Harden also had a huge night himself on Wednesday. The Los Angeles Clippers took out the Detroit Pistons 123 to 115. James Harden had his biggest night in Clippers uniform. He dropped 50 points on the night. But also, even though the Detroit Pistons lost, Cade Cunningham had a huge game as well, 37 points, 10 assists, and 7 rebounds. So even though it was a loss for the Detroit Pistons, Cade Cunningham still shows up. And then another big game last night for the Los Angeles Lakers against the New York Knicks. They went into overtime, got the win 113 to 109. Both Luka and LeBron had double-doubles on the night. LeBron had 31 points, 12 rebounds, and 8 assists. Luka had 32 points, 12 assists, and 7 rebounds. And that's the Lakers' 8th win in a row. They are the number 2 overall seed right now, so looking really good. For hopefully this last month of basketball, they'll be able to put some things together and just keep it moving. Even though the Knicks lost, Jalen Brunson had a huge night, 39 points and 10 assists. Unfortunately, he was injured in overtime, basically to end the game. But it doesn't look like it's going to be anything season ending, but it's definitely, he's probably going to miss a couple of games for sure. At least it kind of looked like it as far as things went in last night's game. So moving on to UFC, we have UFC 313 this weekend. The light heavyweight matchup is between Alex Pereira and his 12-2 record going up against Magomed Ankalaev in his 21-1 record. And, Pereira has been the hot hand in UFC for the entire year now. So, and he pretty much is looking unstoppable at this point. I mean, it feels like every single matchup he goes up against, he just knocks their ass out. And until he gets taken out, I'm going to keep taking the dude. I mean, he always seems locked in every single fight. And while this is going to be a huge matchup for him, because it's actually pretty close, Pereira is favored, but not by a lot. But even so, Magomed, he matches up pretty well against Pereira, but I still think, Pereira is the dude, and until he is dethroned, I'm not going to be picking against this guy. As a matter of fact, would not be shocked if he knocks out, Magomed in this matchup as well. All right, moving on to, my list this week. Last week I did my Top 10 NBA GOATs of the 1960s, so I'm going to do the Top 10 NBA GOATs of the 1970s now. There is one player who actually ended up making the last list who moved on to this list as well, because, I mean, hello, he's one of the greatest to ever do it, and he was great in the 60s and 70s, so he is on this list. So let's begin with number 10 on my Top 10 NBA GOATs of the 1970s. I have Pete Maravich, shooting guard for the Atlanta Hawks in 1970 to 1974, and then also the New Orleans Utah Jazz from 1974 to 1980. He was a four-time All-NBA player. He was excellent at ball handling. He is one of the greatest ball handlers of all time. He's also a highest scorer for his time. He was always competing basically with the greats like Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for high scorer of the league. And so, I mean, when you're right up there with those two guys, I mean, that says a lot. His career numbers ended up being 15,948 points, 2,747 rebounds, and 3,563 assists. He just was one of the all-time great ball handlers. I mean, people just really could not stop what he was doing on the court. Then at number 9 on my Top 10 NBA GOATs of the 1970s, I have Bob Lanier. He was the center for the Detroit Pistons from 1970 to 1980, and then with the Milwaukee Bucks from 1980 to 1984. He just was one of the most prolific defenders and paint. He just dominated the paint his entire career. He did suffer through some injuries towards the end of his career, but he definitely was very consistent defensively, but would also score a lot of points as well. His career numbers ended up being 19,248 points, 9,698 rebounds, and 1,100 blocks. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA GOATs of the 1970s, I had Tiny Nate Archibald, one of the best point guards of all time. He played with the Kings. Now, they moved around multiple places throughout his career, so I'm not even going to say where they were, but basically he was with the Kings his most of his career. From 1970 to 1976, he also did have a stint with the Boston Celtics as well, when he actually won a championship in 1981 with the Boston Celtics. He was really just known for his quickness and speed on the court. He is a 5-time All-NBA selection. His career numbers are 16,481 points, 6,476 assists, and 2,046 rebounds. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA GOATs of the 1970s, this is the player who made both lists. That would be point guard Jerry West of the Los Angeles Lakers. From 1960 to 1974, I mean, he was basically one of the top guys the entire time in his career. He is one of the greatest defenders of all time, one of the greatest offense players of all time. He went to numerous championships. He actually won his one and only championship in his career in the 70s in 1972. He's a 12-time All-NBA, 4-time All-Defense, and that was in the 70s in 1970 through 1973. He really was dominant defensively, especially in the 70s. Obviously, I rattled off a bunch of his other career stats in the 60s list, so I'm not going to keep listing off the same stats. I mean, if you want to go listen to last week's stats. But I mean, Jerry West, obviously, he's the logo for a reason, and one of the greatest to ever do it over two decades. Then number 6 on my top 10 NBA GOATs of the 1970s, I have John Havlicek. He was a shooting guard and a small forward for the Boston Celtics from 1962 to 1978. He is an 8-time champion. Now, he is basically the first six man who basically revolutionized that entire position of the six man, the guy who just comes off the bench, because that's what he started out as, is just the guy who would come in and make the big plays when he needed to. But at the end of his career, that's when he really started to shine and actually start to excel and be the guy who they basically built the Celtics around once Bill Russell retired and moved on. He is an 11-time All-NBA selection. His career numbers are 23,395 points, 8,007 rebounds, and 6,114 assists. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NBA GOATs of the 1970s, I have Elvin Hayes. He played power forward and center for the San Diego / Houston Rockets from 1968 to 1972. Then with the Washington Bullets from 1972 to 1981. And then would go back to Houston from 1981 to 1984. He won a championship with Washington in 1978. He was a 6-time All-NBA selection. Considered one of the greatest power forwards of all time. In my opinion, it's Tim Duncan, hands down. But pre-Tim Duncan, it was pretty much Elvin Hayes and nobody else until Tim Duncan came along. His career numbers are 27,313 points, 16,279 rebounds, and 1,771 blocks. So that alone goes to show you how versatile the guy was, because he could score points, he was dominating in the paint, but he would just own you defensively as well. Then at number 4 on my top 10 NBA GOATs of the 1970s, I have George McGinnis. He played power forward for the Indiana Pacers from 1971 to 1975, then with the Philadelphia 76ers from 1975 to 1978, then with the Denver Nuggets from 1978 to 1980, and then would go back to the Indiana Pacers from 1980 to 1982. Now, since this was in the 70s, you know, pretty much all the way up until the 90s, basketball really struggled. That's why a lot of teams moved around, but they also were a part of the ABA as well. There was a different league, NBA and ABA. And so there's some of these players who they absolutely dominated the ABA, and that's George McGinnis was one of those guys. He just dominated the ABA as one of the greatest players just to ever do it. He is a 2-time champion in the ABA in 1972 and 1973. He won the ABA MVP in 1975 and is one of the most legendary players, not only in the NBA, but he is an ABA legend. His career numbers are 17,009 points, 9,233 rebounds, and 3,089 assists. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA GOATs of the 1970s, I have Bob McAdoo. Played center for a lot of teams. He played with Buffalo, the New York Knicks, the Boston Celtics, the Detroit Pistons, the New Jersey Knicks, I believe, at the time. Then the Los Angeles Lakers, and ended his career with the Philadelphia 76ers. The reason why I didn't put in any of those years is because he spent a lot of like onesie-twosie years with a lot of these teams, so it was just like such a long list to really just write down every year. But he was extremely successful everywhere he went. He actually ended up winning his championships with the Showtime Lakers in the 80s. He won two of them in 1982 and 1985. He was an MVP in 1975, two-time All-NBA. He was Rookie of the Year in 1973, and really just one of the most highly acclaimed players in the 70s. His career numbers: 18,787 points, 8,048 rebounds, and 1,147 blocks. He was just fantastic offensively, but also dominant defensively. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA GOATs of the 1970s, Dr. J, Julius Erving, one of the biggest superstars that this league has ever seen. He was basically the king of the dunks. If you are watching dudes today do the dunks, the dunk contest was basically invented because of Dr. J. He had some of the most insane dunks of all time. Small forward first began with the Virginia Squires in 1971 and 1973, the New York Nets from 1973 to 1976, and then the Philadelphia 76ers from 1976 to 1987. He is another one of those ABA legends where he started out in the ABA and then moved on to the NBA. But I mean, really, he is who everybody emulated when it came to slam dunking. Everybody wanted to see what he was doing. It didn't matter where he was playing, who he was playing with. It didn't matter if they won, if they lost. All you wanted to see was what Dr. J was doing back in the day. He was a champion in 1983 in the NBA, also an ABA champion in 1974, 1976, won the MVP in 1981. He also won ABA MVPs from 1974 through 1976, so he won three straight in the ABA. He is an 11-time All-NBA selection or ABA selection. Like I said, he was in both leagues. So you combine both of them. His career numbers are 30,026 points, 10,524 rebounds, and 5,176 assists. If you've never seen any Dr. J highlights, you should do yourself a favor and go watch them, because, like I said, he was the inventor, basically, of the slam dunk, and we would not have a slam dunk contest if it wasn't for what Dr. J did back in the day. But number one on my top 10 NBA GOATs from the 1970s, there is nobody else, and that is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Played center for the Milwaukee Bucks from 1969 to 1975, and then played with the Los Angeles Lakers from 1975 to 1989. He is a six-time champion. He won championships in 1971 with the Milwaukee Bucks, and then won the rest with the Showtime Lakers in 1980, 82, 85, 87, 88. He has been to a total of 10 championships, so his record is 6-4 in the NBA Finals, unlike LeBron James, who is 4-6 in his finals venture. So everybody likes to talk about how many LeBron went to. Well, guess what? Kareem went to just as many, and he's actually above 500. But Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, to me, is just the greatest NBA player of all time. I mean, he has accomplished basically everything you possibly can, from the pro level all the way down to the college level, all the way down to every level he has ever played basketball at. He is a six-time MVP. He is a 15-time All-NBA selection. He was Rookie of the Year in 1970. He actually had the all-time scoring record up until LeBron broke it a couple years ago. But his career numbers are 33,387 points, 17,440 rebounds, and 5,660 assists. He just was born to play basketball. That's all he was about, was basketball. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, not only to me, is the greatest of the 1970s era, but he is the greatest basketball player of all time. Hands down. Just you look at his list of accomplishments, it's pretty much just checking the box of every single possible thing you could do. Kareem did it. So to recap my top 10 NBA GOATs of the 1970s, number 10, I have Pistol Pete Maravich. Number 9, Bob Lanier. Number 8, Tiny Nate Archibald. Number 7, Jerry West. Number 6, John Havlicek. Number 5, Elvin Hayes. Number 4, George McGinnis. Number 3, Bob McAdoo. Number 2, Dr. J. Julius Erving. And number 1, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.